Welcome to the Book of Revelation series, part 19. And today, as we cover chapters 15 and 16, let's not forget that God is our Father. He's our loving Father. He's our Abba, Daddy. We can come boldly onto the throne of grace and mercy for help in time of need, anytime. And that we shouldn't be afraid of nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto God. And the peace of God keeps our hearts and our minds. Amen? That doesn't change because we're in chapters 14, 15, and 16. That's always true. The Word of God will never change. He is your Abba, Daddy. And we've been praying for years. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we know that when we pray, our prayer typically, almost always, requires action. And we've been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And the action is helping to prepare the way for the return of Jesus Messiah. That's where the action comes in. And it's a wonderful, great calling. It's an honor and a blessing to be alive, to be in the body of Christ, to have this knowledge, to know that God wants us to participate in preparing the way for the return of Jesus. And Jesus said, when I return, shall I find faith? The faith to believe the Word of God, the faith to act on the Word of God, the faith to believe that no evil shall befall you and no plague shall come near your dwelling place. The plague to believe that you shall be alive and shall remain until Jesus returns. The faith to believe that God's Word can purify you, cleanse you, deliver you, and make you spotless. Because Hebrews 10:14 says, by one sacrifice, He has perfected those. He has perfected us. All those who come to Him, He has perfected them by one sacrifice. And having perfected us by one sacrifice, it goes on to say, and having done that, He's seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for His enemies to be made His footstool. By those for whom He paid the price for perfection. For those who He said, let me be your Lord. Let me wash you by the water of the Word. That as you see my Word and you do the do's and don't the don'ts, the Word of God washes you till you are free of all spot and wrinkle. And you can be alive and remain until Jesus returns. Why would He say these things? Why would He write all these things if He doesn't expect us to do them? Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Doesn't say He's going to make them without spot or wrinkle when He comes back. It says they have been washed by the blood of Jesus and they are already spotless. And they are already healed and their needs are already met all by one sacrifice. But we have to learn how to partner with God and believe His Word and act on His Word. It's up to us to participate. And as for me and my household, we shall believe the report of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Lord, our cleanser, our deliverer, our high tower, our protector, our strength, our personal bravery, and our invincible army. That's the Word of God. And He shall lead us not into temptation, and He shall deliver us from all evil. That is the Word of God. If He didn't mean it, He shouldn't have said it. But we all know He meant it, and we all know He said it, and that settles it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's look at one perspective of the entire gospel in a nutshell. And here on your outline, I call them foundation scriptures. In John 17:15, Jesus says, I pray not that the Father, not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. Well, the Lord's Prayer says that, keep them from evil. Where do we get this idea he's going to take us out of the world? Yeah, we're going to be raptured to go up and meet them, turn around, and welcome the conquering hero back into this earth that he has conquered and re-won back. That's what the word meet means. So he prays not that God should take us out of the world, but he should keep us from evil. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. How can we overcome if we're not here to overcome the things that are to be overcome? So he that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the dead. That's how we overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And this is in a chapter when Satan has been cast onto the earth, right before the Antichrist comes into power. Daniel 12, verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white. Does that sound like the church without spot or wrinkle? And tried. Does that sound like the church without spot or wrinkle going through the ending days and tried? That's how your faith grows, by overcoming challenges. No test, no testimony. Isn't that true? That is true. C'est vrai. That's tongues, by the way. It's French, but it's true. See, I'm a linguist, small linguist. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. The wise are those who win souls. The wise are those who believe the word of God. The wise are those are the ones of the Spirit of the Lord upon them. Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Jesus Christ has been made your wisdom. First thing is wisdom. He's made your wisdom. Your righteousness. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your sanctification. We're set apart for his work. And finally, your salvation. After the first three biggies, wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, comes salvation, number four. Why? Because final salvation is when you overcome, and God says, you are an overcomer, I'm very pleased in you, you're my son. Son, my daughter. That's the final salvation. That's his preferred path. Yeah, no, every believer who is absent from the body is with the Lord. That's also the word of God. But that's not his first choice. Don't you think Abraham and the great prophets would want to be here today to welcome back the conquering hero, the Messiah, King of Kings? My word, the Jews have been waiting for the King of Kings for a long time. And he's about to come back. So we're going to look at introduction to the seven last plagues. The final plagues, Revelation 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Great and marvelous. Everything that's happening in 15 and in particular 16 is considered by heaven to be great and marvelous. We are not of this earth. We're in this earth, but we are not of this earth. We are children of heaven sojourning through this strange land, bringing heaven down here. We are heaven-minded, which means we are thinking about being heaven-bound. But it also means we should think the way heaven thinks. We have the mind of Christ. Why in the world would you want to think the way the world thinks? Do you think Jesus is in heaven saying, oh, my mind, I can't believe it. Look what's coming. No, it's great and marvelous. Great and marvelous. Great and marvelous. Out comes the seven last plagues, and it's filled up with the wrath of God. That's it. All the wrath that God has for men is poured out in these final seven last plagues. And is there a purpose? Exactly the same purpose that he showed us before. I see people nodding. With Moses and Pharaoh, the exact same process. So, we're going to look at an overview of Revelation chapters 12 through 20. And we're going to look at it through the eyes of Daniel to start with. Daniel 12 verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who stands up for the children of the people. Now, in Revelation 12, we saw that. Michael stands up, and there's war in heaven, and Satan is cast down to the earth. And there should be a time of trouble, such as was never seen since there was a nation, even to this time. And we saw that in Revelation 14. And at that time, that people shall be delivered. Everyone that should be found written in the book. Revelation 20. That's what's going to happen. And Daniel said it a long, long time ago. Daniel 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Revelation 20. Actually, 21 is even better. Okay? Revelation 12, verse 4. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. So she delivers the man-child, which we see and believe to be the 144,000 being taken up to heaven like Enoch and Elijah. And then after that occurs in 12, this woman, which represents the observant Jew, the Jews who are observant, the part of Israel that's observant, goes into hiding in a place of refuge for 1,260 days, which will include chapters 13 and 14, from 12 through the end of 14. They're in refuge, place of refuge. So that takes care of 12 and 13, and now we look at 14. Overview of Revelation 14 from Daniel 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was up in the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that lived forever and ever, it shall be for a time, times and a half. Time is like a year, times is double that and a half. 3.5 years. Or 1,260 days. There are 12 months in the Hebrew calendar, and the months are either 29 or 30. And so using 30, you would get 1,260. It's not a precise, but it's pretty close. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, when the Antichrist will have accomplished the scattering of the power of the people, this is the holy people. This is Israel, God's chosen people. When he has accomplished this, then all these things shall be finished. What things? This time of tribulation and challenges shall be finished for God's people. Yeah. Note, the power of the holy people, that is the Jews, specifically Israel, is destroyed by the end of Revelation 14. Remember, the blood is up to the bit of the horses and goes out 200 miles. Okay? And I just use some number as an estimate. It doesn't really make any difference what the actual numbers are. what we see is it's a lot of people. It's in the millions. No matter what assumption you take or how you measure it, it's going to be in the millions. And it has to be because the Jews lost in World War II with current estimates, I guess, as high as 6 or 7 million. And this is going to be worse, according to the Word of God. This is also going to include also believers. Okay. Satan is down on the earth. He really doesn't have a choice. But he's thinking, if I can kill every Jew and every Christian, then Jesus can't come back. He's tried it before. Tried to kill all the babies so Jesus wouldn't grow up. Tried to kill all the babies so Moses couldn't be the deliverer. It's not new with him. This concept of killing off all his enemies is not new with him. And everything in the Old Covenant, everything in the Old Testament are examples for us to learn by. So the power of the holy people is destroyed by the end of Revelation 14. Probably most of them are dead, and the rest are in hiding. This marks the end of the 1260 days for those observant Jews who have fled into the wilderness. So the 1260 days ends there. Not all the Jews have been killed, but the Antichrist will be much too challenged with plagues to be concerned about them for the next 30 days. That's a very important sentence. When I taught part 17, I said clearly that the 1260 days of the refuge is overlapped by the 1290 days for the Antichrist. There's an overlapping. And when I taught it 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I was saying, I believe the 1290 clock starts 30 days before the 1260 clock. That the daily offering, daily sacrifice will be discontinued, and he'll declare himself to be God in the temple. And that when he does that, I thought you had 30 days to get out of town. And I said, clearly, don't rely on what I'm saying because I could be wrong. I specifically said that. You get out of town as soon as you see this happening. Now, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, don't even come down from the rooftop to go into the house to get something. Leave town. That kind of indicates it starts at the same time. But the reason why I thought maybe he didn't start the killing campaign for 30 days was I could not reconcile chapter 14 and 15 in that time frame until this sentence. So they start together. No, I gave an opinion 2 weeks ago. This is not an opinion. This is my interpretation of the scripture. This is what I think the scripture is telling us. They start together. Don't come down from the rooftop. When you hear him, he says, I am God. When he commits the abomination of desolation in the temple, which yet has not been rebuilt, when he does that, then leave and go into hiding. The 1260 days will be, first 1260 will be coincidental. They'll overlap. At the end of chapter 14, when millions of Jews and believers in Israel have been killed, the power of the holy people will have been broken. The power of Israel will have been broken. And immediately thereafter comes the 30 days of the plagues, where the Antichrist and his people are so tormented by these plagues, they haven't got time to think about the few, whatever the number is, Jews that are remaining in hiding. So for 30 days, they would pay no attention to them. And so it's 1260. Both cycles starting together, one ending at the end of Revelation 14, meaning at the end of Revelation 14, those in hiding no longer have to be in hiding. They still, however, have to stay under the anointing because of the plagues coming down. And then for 30 days in chapter 16, we will have the plagues. So overview of chapter 16, Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. These seven plagues, just as with the last seven plagues in the days of Pharaoh, which we discussed in series part 11, these plagues affect only the enemy and break the power of the Antichrist. Except, of course, for the final plague where the Hebrews had to participate in the Passover. They had the blood over their dwelling place, over their doorpost, and they had to partake of the Passover supper. But they were not affected by the last seven plagues. So the period of the 1290 days of the Antichrist's power ends with the seventh vial, with the seventh plague. And the purpose is to break the Antichrist's power. And just as Pharaoh's heart was hardened, that after the slaves left, he went after them to kill them all and met with his destruction at the Red Sea. In the same manner, once the plagues are over, the Antichrist and his people will be so upset that they will go after the remaining Jews and believers, bringing into being the Battle of Armageddon, where they will be destroyed. Exact parallel to the Old Testament. The time of the rapture. Daniel 12:12. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. That's 45 days more. So let's back up. Satan is cast to the earth shortly thereafter. The Antichrist declares that he's God. The observant Jew goes into hiding for 1,260 days. And the Antichrist wreaks havoc, tries to commit genocide for the same 1,260 days. At the end of the 1,260 days, the power of Israel is broken. The plagues come down on the Antichrist for 30 days. And then starts the 45 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. The next 45 days. Note that the word waited implies the person is alive. Blessed is he that waited. You can't be waited if you're not alive. Right? So blessed is he who is alive. The word cometh means, implies remaining until an appropriate time. You're coming to that time, which means you're remaining until that time. So the word waited can be translated as alive, and the word commit means remains. So in other words, he that is alive and remain for the next 45 days is blessed. And where have we heard that before? Those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall be caught up with him to meet him in the clouds. And evermore shall we be with him. Almost went into a graduate school teaching there. I had to check myself here and pull back, okay? Those who are alive and remain. Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over the mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So these are overcomers. It tells you that. They got the victory. An overcomer has a victory. They got the victory by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. These are the martyrs who were killed because they didn't take the mark. These are overcomers. These are members of the glorious church. These are whom we are going to be. We want to get there by living the Word of God. With the help of the Holy Spirit, living the Word of God 24 hours a day. And we want to get there with such an anointing in us that we build an ark of anointing. Just as Noah built an ark and saved 8 souls. Just so we're going to be an ark of anointing for our friends and our families. As we proceed, you'll see how that works out, okay? And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Again, great and marvelous. Heaven is not seeing this as a bad thing. Heaven is seeing this as a wonderful thing. Why is that? It is a fulfillment of the theme to cleanse the earth so we can fill it and replenish it. That was described way back in Genesis. It's also the fulfillment of the authority and dominion which God has given us, which we studied for a year and a half in School of Dominion in preparation for graduate school. So these are wonderful things. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true thy ways, thou King of saints. Verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Notice here in these ending days, it's still talking about all nations coming to worship. Notice as you go into Revelation 21 and 22, it talks about the nations of the earth. You know, these ending days, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the earth. It is the beginning of what God has been preparing us for 6,000 years. And after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. The temple of the tabernacle is the place of mercy. God's mercy was still available all this time. But there's about to be a change. Verse 6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. Seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. What does that mean? It means mercy has just been suspended and judgment is about to be released in these vials. These seven plagues are directly intended for the Antichrist, his partners, and those who serve him. Just as the seven last plagues of Moses were geared against Pharaoh and his people. You can check that out. We covered it and studied it before. Exactly the same. And the Hebrews avoided the tenth plague where the firstborn was killed by their obedience and being covered by the blood of an animal. And we are going to avoid every single plague because we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are obedient because we know that we can do all things with Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit who helps us. We remember that we cannot do it by our discipline and our control, but we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The seven vials of plagues. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worship his image. More graduate school stuff. one of the most difficult things they have to do in the series was keeping graduate school separate from this Book of Revelation series. And keep telling myself, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Just be led by the Spirit of God. And we started off this day today showing you how I wasn't led by the Spirit of God. I was led by my mind, and my mind was wrong, right? Speaking about this being part 9. Verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died on the sea. Wow, that sounds really awful. And it is. You think, wow, is that going to affect me? You know, this guy went to the doctor. He says, doctor, every time I put my hand behind like this, my shoulder just really hurts. The doctor says, then don't do it. Right? Yeah. Don't do it. So if every living soul is going to die in the sea, don't go in the sea during this time. It's as simple as that. Don't go in the sea. Where else did we see that before? Plague 7 against Pharaoh. They were told, do not go in the fields because hail and fire will come down and anything in the field will die. Bring your animals inside. Some did, some didn't. We're talking about the Egyptians. Some did and some didn't. Some actually obeyed the word of God, came inside and brought the animals in, and they were okay. The others were inside, they all died. This is exactly the same thing, except this is water. Don't go in the water. Revelation 16, verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because you have judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They are worthy of that. Now, what about this? Us? It sounds like all the water is going to turn blood. Well, it's only 30 days. And we've all been taught, always have a supply of water and food for emergency. Anywhere you live in the world. Even in the natural. In fact, you should have 3 months supply of water and food. Wherever you live, anywhere in the world. We've taught that and given you the reason why in the past. But here, just make sure I have water for 30 days. What's the big deal? And suppose you don't have water for 30 days. Spirit of God is in you. Jesus turned water into wine. Wine into blood. And at the cross, the blood came out as water. And we've got Jesus in us. Hey, turn the blood into water. What's the big deal? We are children of the Most High God. We have authority and dominion over everything on earth. All we need to do is keep practicing obedience. Keep confessing our sins. Keep believing God. Keep doing what the Word says. Revelation 16, verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, who had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. These people are not repenting. Obviously, these are not believers. These are, as we saw with the first plague, those who have taken the mark of the beast and worship the beast. Let me read something. The heat even brought the road runners to a stop. They're dealing with the animals that run around, birds that run around. They don't fly, they run around very, very fast. And they live in hot areas. But even the road runners came to a stop. They stood arched to the sky with their beaks wide open, as if in a stupor. The landscape blurred and undulated. People moved as though they were walking through glue. When a light breeze came in the afternoon, light breeze stung their faces so badly, they had to turn away from it. It is so hot. Their bodies are so hot. that a light breeze makes them feel like they're burning. Water mains burst in the baking dirt, while the cold water tap comes out of the faucets, the temperature of a jacuzzi. This is from the Los Angeles Times, June 21st, a few days ago, describing the 127 degrees in Death Valley. Palm Springs wasn't far from that. There was one man in Palmdale that was saying he took a heat gun, was like 121, 22 around. He took a heat gun to the sidewalk, it was 151. Now, you may or may not believe in climate change, but let me tell you, it's going to get hot. Now, God is your strength, your personal bravery, you're the invincible army. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. So start practicing, as we did last Sunday, putting a coat of air conditioning around you. I'm absolutely serious. You know, we should be practicing, and I'm sure many of us have, practice invisibility, that your enemies can't see you. I've walked through a riot with a riot all around me. And I had some kids. I took the kids. We went right to the riot and was as if we didn't exist. I mean, that's the rioting around. I mean, within a foot on either side, 2 feet on either side, people are fighting with knives and bottles and rocks. That's how close the riot was. Literally went right through the riot. My brother, one of the last big riots we had down in Los Angeles, he was driving all through the riot area for the whole morning. Got home, his wife says, "Where you been?" He says, "I've been down there." "You've been down there? Don't you know there's a riot on?" He's going from building to building. He had a lot of business down there. He said, "No, I didn't know, but I was wondering why everybody was so excited." Practice invisibility. Practice last Sunday, our air conditioning went out. So I prayed that we'd all have coolness around us. I didn't see anybody. In fact, I never saw anybody fanning at all. But my wife, when I said that, my wife says furiously. So maybe some were fanning and I didn't see it. But we made it through last Sunday without air conditioning and one of the hottest days of the year so far. Praise God, that will never happen again. We got the test and we passed it. And our air conditioning system will always work perfectly in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Until Jesus returns. Revelation 16, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. The seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. The kingdom of the beast. Satan is one being that has to be in one place at one time. And he has a kingdom. In Daniel, we see where Daniel had to, the angel coming to Daniel, had to fight through the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia probably refers to Satan, or somebody who reports directly to him. Probably was Satan. That's where Satan's seat was. We've seen that Satan's seat was in Babylon. If you remind you that the Tower of Babel was basically the first organized scientific endeavor that contradicted God's word. As I interpreted, they were saying, let's build a tower so high that if God tries to flood us again, it won't bother us. And that Babel became Babylon. We've covered this in the past. Pergamos, we saw in Revelation chapter 2, that Pergamos was where Satan had his seat at that point in time. Pergamos, at that time, was run by the Romans and was a powerful city. There are tremendous temples there. The temple of Zeus was enormous. I guess today they would say ginormous. And it was beautiful. And they took the ruins. I mean, Babylon is in ruins, but some people still live there, still in ruins. Pergamos is in ruins. But they took the altar of Zeus from the temple of Zeus, where Satan's seat was, and took it to Berlin. And in 1901, they opened in Berlin a Pergamos museum. where the chief item, the central focal item, is the altar of Zeus, 1901. In 1914, World War I started. The temple was so successful that they decided to enlarge it. And they enlarged it and reopened it in 1930. In 1939, we had World War II. They are currently renovating it to reopen it either the end of 2019 or early 2020. I don't know about you, but I find that very interesting. Amen? So these things are not games. We should cleanse our bodies of all evil. We should cleanse our homes of everything that has connections with evil. All the sins you used to commit, don't keep souvenirs of them. Like this man came to a friend of mine and says, I don't understand. I need counseling. I need help. He says, I'm happily married, but I can't forget this girlfriend. I keep thinking about her all the time. So my friend says, well, tell me about her. He says, man, boy, she's something else. She is so beautiful. You want to see her picture? And he pops out his wallet with a picture of his girlfriend. That's the first mistake right there. Get rid of everything connected to sin. Get rid of everything connected to sin. You cleanse yourself, you cleanse your home. We should cleanse our cities. It's not going to happen for the world as a whole until these terrible things come up in them. But Jesus, King of Kings and his kings, are going to cleanse the earth. But look at this. I mean, why in the world would you want to take the altar of Zeus and take it to Berlin? Do you know what the tallest monument is west of St. Louis? It's in San Francisco, put up a year or two ago. It's a statue of the goddess of love. She has Roman name and Greek name. I think it's Aphrodite. Okay? In San Francisco. The city of love has a idol of the goddess of love. What a coincidence. And the arch from the temple in Babylon, correct me here if I say this incorrectly, was moved to New York about a year ago, right? The ark for the temple in Babylon was moved to New York about a year ago. So, from coast to coast, we have idols going up. So perhaps, if you want to know where the seat of Satan was during World War II, or that time frame, maybe it was Berlin. And then where is it in these ending days that we're studying here? It's called Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Okay? For a season here, it's going to be Mystery Babylon, which is on seven hills, which in these ending days, many people think it's Rome, the city of Rome. The Catholic Church has had three prophecies given by, I always confuse Fatima and Lourdes, okay? I believe it's at Lourdes. The prophecies were given by this young girl. Three prophecies, which one had to do with World War II, and I forget what the other one had to do. And those two have actually been revealed. The third one has not been publicly announced. Still is not publicly announced. But what it is about, it tells them basically that the last pope would be a bad pope. So, we shall see. We shall see. Revelation 16:11. So they gnawed their tongues in pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. With all these things happening. And they know God is behind it. They're still not repenting. Just like Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Satan in Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Bible does say that God hardened Satan's heart through these actions. But it's obvious with the things that Pharaoh did that he was highly influenced by the devil. You know, it's difficult to believe, but it is a true fact that sometimes God and God and the devil want the same thing. It's an amazing thing. Let me give you an example. Well, here's an example. Satan wanted Pharaoh to go out and kill off all the Jews, all the Hebrews. And God wanted Pharaoh to go out and try to kill off all the Jews because that was his destruction. See, they both wanted the Egyptians under Pharaoh to go after the Jews. Here's another one. Satan wanted Jesus to be taken to the cross and killed. So did God. God wanted Jesus to be taken to the cross where Jesus would lay his life down. Isn't that true? Absolutely true. Verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. We understand the dragon to be Satan. To me, it's a new concept that an unclean spirit is coming out of Satan. And out of the mouth of the beast, which is the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, who is the other beast, the second beast, who is the religious leader that causes people to worship the first beast. Verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Verse 16, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Watcheth and keeping, again, are synonyms for being alive. You can't watch if you're not alive. You can't keep your garments. The process of keeping your garments means you remain in truth of the gospel. So again, we see alive and remain. Verse 16, and all of that ends with verse 16. And he gathered them together in a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. That's the whole point of the seven last plagues. So that the Antichrist's heart would be hardened, so that Satan would want to go after the remnants of God's people and try to wipe them out. And God is calling them to Armageddon. That's what Armageddon is all about. File 7, Revelation 16, 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. What is done? A lot of things. The first thing that should come to your mind is, it is done. It is finished. Jesus is on the cross. Looks like a total failure. Slaughtered like a lamb. And he does, it is finished. And here, the world is, all these terrible things are happening, and God is declaring, it is done. Well, what is done? One of the things is the seven plagues have been poured out. And they've accomplished the goal of bringing them to Armageddon. And we look at a little summary of what is done in a minute. Verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. This is the greatest earthquake since prehistoric times. Notice how careful and precise about this. Not since men were upon the earth. Not since the earth was created. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts. The great city. Notice the exact precise nature. The great city. It's not telling you which great city. It's saying the great city. It's not saying that great city or this great city. It's saying the great city. In the entire Bible, the expression great city is only used 17 times. Seven times in the Old Testament. Great city. Two words, great city. Of the seven times in the Old Testament, five referred to Nineveh, And they were all in the context of talking about Nineveh and saying that great city. Not that great city, but that great city. The remaining 10 are all in the book of Revelation. Of the remaining 10 reference to a great city, only 2 uses the expression the great city. I have to know English because I'm married to my wife and I've got to be precise. The is a definite article. It means something specific. That specific, that great city. And when God says that great city, he doesn't need to put it in context because there's only one great city as far as God is concerned. The great city, and they are both here. Revelation 16, 19 and Revelation 11, 8. Of the remaining 8 in the book of Revelation, 7 refer to that city, that great city. And the other one says this great city. This great city refers to Mystery Babylon. And that great city was divided into 3 parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Okay? Now, the great city is divided into 3 parts. Today, well, not today, Israel, as far back as I know, has always been divided into 4 quarters. They're called 4 quarters. 1 quarter is Christian, that's the northwest corner. 1 quarter is Armenian, that's the southwest corner. On the eastern side of the southwest corner is the Jewish section. In the east quadrant, kind of above the Jewish section, is the Muslim section. Divided into 4 quarters. It's always been the old city. Well, 2 of the quarters are Christians, Armenians are Christians. Within what is currently called the Christian Quarter, there are 40 Christian buildings that are revered through much of Christianity. Like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. 40 buildings in that quarter. Israel functions on 3 holy days. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday for the Christians. I guess it'll depends on when you start it. Let's start it as Friday, Sabbath, Friday, evening. Jews, then comes the Muslims, then comes the Christians. How has always been divided. And here, God is simply saying, so you want to divide a city? No, you got it. I think you can look at the map of the 4 quarters and see where that earthquake is going to hit. And I think it's going to go right through the city from the north to south, separating all the Christians on one side, and starting from the center, going directly east through the Dome of the Rock. I believe it's going to destroy the Islamic temple right there, dividing it into 3 sections. They wanted a divided city, they're going to get a divided city. Reading Revelation 11, verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. This is the 2 witnesses after being killed. They prophesied for 1260 days before Satan is cast to the earth. And I believe much of what I'm teaching here, these guys are going to prophesy. I mean, you know, I'm only taking, 6-7 months to do this. They're going to be doing it every day for 3.5 years. Just a lot of prophesying. And their dead bodies shall line the streets of the great city. Nobody will have an excuse to say they're ignorant. And their dead bodies shall line the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. By this point in time, God isn't thinking too highly of Jerusalem. Sodom and Egypt. And that's why we're going to have a new Jerusalem. Revelation 16:20. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. I believe that this has to do with that area, the Mediterranean and the seas around there. I believe that. God hasn't told me that. That's what I believe as I study through the scriptures. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. In terms of measuring stones and so forth, a talent is 100 pounds. In terms of measuring gold, it's supposed to be 75 ounces. So one talent of gold, which we see in the scriptures, is about 1.6 million by today's market prices, roughly. And men blaspheme God. Again, see, it's blaspheming God. These are not Christians. Christians do, born again Christians do not blaspheme God no matter what happened. These are not Christians. Because of the plague of the hail, for the plague was exceeding great. God has poured out his wrath with the seven trumpets and the seven vials. The reign of the Antichrist is at an end. The 1290 days are over. All that is left is the destruction of Mystery Babylon, the disposition of the false prophet, and the Antichrist and his followers. Amen? See how logical and simple the whole thing is? You may not like some of the stuff, but it's only because we're not walking in the Spirit the way we should be. We want the earth purged. This earth is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. The Bible says, you know, friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. And the earth is going to be purged, so you don't want to be friendship with the earth. It is bad. It is sad. We're going to have a new earth and a new Jerusalem and a new heaven. So God said, it is done. So what is it that is done? God has poured out his wrath on those who have rejected him, beginning with the trumpets, and now finishing with vial 6. The pouring out of his wrath is done. Spiritually, the Antichrist has already been defeated. Satan was defeated by Jesus. The Antichrist is a man inhabited by Satan. Here, spiritually, that man, the Antichrist, powered by Satan, is already defeated. He just doesn't know it yet. Just like the power of Pharaoh was defeated even before he drowned. We knew he was going to lose. Now, here it is done. It's a prophetic word declaring the end of the Antichrist and his army and his people. The result is a calling of the Antichrist and his people to the battle of Armageddon, which is preceded by the return of Jesus Messiah. The battle of Armageddon, spiritually, is such a non-event that is not even covered. It happens between two verses. It's not even referenced. They're coming together for the battle, and it's over, and they'll be cast and dealt with. That's how God sees it. That's how we should see it. Matthew 24:29. What is done? We're going to do a review here. There are three numbers here. Each number refers to the subsections below. So reading from Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. See number one? Go down to subsection one now. The beginning. The beginning. Remember, Revelation 7:14 refers to the martyrs of seal 5 in chapter 6, verse 9, as coming out of great tribulation. So 7, looking back to chapter 6, says they came out of great tribulation. Remember the expression great tribulation, not that great tribulation. The expression the great tribulation is not used in the Bible. The expression great tribulation is used twice, once by Jesus in Revelation, when it says, unless Jezebel, the prophetess, and her people shape up, he's going to cast them into great tribulation. The second time in Revelation is here, and he says that here in 24:29. Okay? So 24:29. So, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light. And technically, he uses it before 29. I've covered this before. I was just trying to do a quick review, and I'm not reviewing it very well. But you all know it. It's in your notes. We covered it before. So Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree catches her untimely figs when she's taken of a mighty wind. See, that's pretty much what's described up here in part one. Let me finish reading this for a reason. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's scrolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I had a lot of challenge with this because it said the great day has come in chapter 6. And obviously, the great day doesn't come until Revelation 19. So I had a difficult time with it. But then eventually the Lord said the word day also means period of time. So I went to the Greek and checked it, and it does. So it's a period of time. The period of time is starting. And so it's starting because I have to seal 6. After this event here, we go to seal 7, where the 7 trumpets are handed to the angel. So this is the beginning of the period of wrath. Remember, the seals are not God's wrath. The seals are man doing it to himself. But seal 6 results in seal 7, where the trumpets are given to the angels. Let's go back and read number 2. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So we see there's a good match between what we just read and Matthew 24:29. In Matthew 24:29, the second one is, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So if we go back, we see the powers of heaven shaken. We see that in Revelation 12. There was war in heaven. Mike and his angels fought against the dragon and prevailed not, and neither was place found in heaven. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast over him. That's the powers of heaven being shaken. Powers of heaven. Now, I've always thought of it before as the stars and the moons and the suns. I guess we only have one sun in this system. Stars, moons, and the sun. But no, this is the powers of heaven are shaken. So that the heavenlies around the earth are purged as the first step in purging. In warfare, the first thing you want to do in warfare is take the high ground. You want to have the high ground. Today, the high ground would probably be satellites and probably computers. So in warfare today, the first thing you want to do is take out the satellites. In World War I or World War II, the high ground could be a mountain or a farmhouse in the middle of flat land. So the high ground is the heavens. First you purge the heavens, and then we purge the earth. Matthew 24:30, item 3. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And we see the Son of Man coming in Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. He's the King of Kings. And we see his judgment here. And we're going to see the war at the end of Revelation 19. He comes back as King of Kings. Summary. Summary of the book of Revelation. 2. This point. Seal 7. Seal 7, there is silence in heaven. No salvation is occurring. Heaven is quiet. No joy at the salvation of a saint. This initiates God's wrath by giving of the 7 trumpets to the 7 angels. That's seal 7. Trumpet 7. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, which result in the casting of Satan down to earth. Vial 7. God's wrath has been completely poured out, which causes the Antichrist to come to Armageddon, where he'll be cast into the lake of fire. And I close with a question, which is, if for those of you who really know your scriptures, you're going to say, if God's wrath has been poured out, how come Mr. Babylon, the city, is still yet to be destroyed? Because the next two chapters describe Mr. Babylon and its destruction. And we've seen it mentioned twice. One is a prophecy back in Revelation 14, I believe. And the other one is in Revelation, we just saw it today, where it says it's brought to remembrance. So it's a big deal. And the answer is, look at Revelation 17, verse 16. The 10 horns are 10 kings, which you saw upon the beast, and they shall hate the whore, that is, the city and seven hills. And they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And the woman which you saw is a great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth. So the 10 kings, because of all these plagues, they're going to lash out. And they're going to lash out at the city where the false prophet is. If I just think out loud, I would think that they had this reasoning. We are 10 kings. We are giving you the political power. You're supposed to give us the spiritual protection. And we just got bombarded by seven plagues. What kind of spiritual protection are you giving us? And so, in my opinion, they drop a nuclear bomb on the city. That's not Bible. That's just Joshua. And it's not the first Joshua. This is the last Joshua. Well, I think it's good to end a teaching like this with some humor. Okay? So, thank you all for your time, your patience, and please check everything I teach you. Remember, if the blind lead the blind, they're all going to fall into the ditch. Thank you.